worthy. I'm not worthy to stand before the Lord. And yet, he's made us worthy in his Son. And he welcomes us. But to kind of hear those words, it's intimidating to get up here afterwards. And it was hard to pick out the verses in Job. Like, if you want to, do go back and read those passages, because there's such a wealth in there. And I hear wonder, you know, God's delight in his creation. I mean, it talks about the angels singing for joy. They go, way! You know, as God says, let there be, and there's light. And the angels will go, wow! You know, there'd never been the physical or material before. The angels have been created, and then the world gets made, and the angels go, wow! They got to see it happen. And then God's talking about what he's made and asking Job all of these things which are kind of way beyond his understanding. There may be, I'm not a scientist, there may be scientists here or others who've had a bash at answering some of these now, and I wonder if the Holy Spirit was inspiring something like this today, what would it be like? You know, what would be the questions that would be asked now that would get us kind of mind-boggling? There is so much I don't know. There is so much I don't understand. What would they be? The one about, have you traveled to the deep? There's I think it's still said that we know more about the surface of the moon than we do the bottom of the ocean. There's stuff that we don't know. These weren't included. Do you hunt prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of lions? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her... Do you watch? God is watching when the doe gives birth. Like, God's eyes are watching over his creation, delighting in his creation. And there's the wildness of creation as well, isn't there? So we've got, before the bit that we had about the horse, there's the ostrich, but there's also the wild ox and the donkey, in the sense that there's these parts of creation that we cannot control or we cannot tame, because it's wild. It's beyond us. And then even the horse that has been tamed has this strength or wildness about it, which is kind of inspiring and beyond us. I don't know about you, but I love nature documentaries. I really enjoyed them. And I think David Attenborough has had a pretty amazing career, that he's got to do what he's got to do and travel and see and record. And I don't know if you've noticed, but nature documentaries have changed quite a bit. When I grew up with them as a kid, there was such wonder, and I loved that. We saw all the best bits, the most wonderful bits about nature, and it's like, wow, isn't this amazing? I think then later on we got to see some of the kind of nasty bits about creation, things which are pretty tough, and now more recently, and perhaps we'll come back to this later, we're seeing our impact on creation, and that's kind of coming into nature documentaries as well now. And David Attenborough, he said he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God, and that's very sad. But he has a humility about him as well, in that I think he still says, you'll hear him when there's, and we don't know why this is, or we don't understand this. He'll say it as part of his commentary in a nature document. We don't understand this, or we don't know why this is. This thing about things being greater or bigger than us. So, Job. Job is in the collection of books in the Bible, which are seen as poetry books or wisdom books. And it's kind of an all of Scripture in its different forms, whether poetry or letters or the history of the kings. All of Scripture is given to us and is useful. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's useful to us for teaching and training in righteousness. And in Job, in this wisdom book, they're wrestling with the question of, why is there suffering? Why is there suffering in the world? And yet, there's actually a bigger question behind that. There's a greater challenge because the book starts with this accuser bringing a challenge to God and saying, you know what? People don't follow you just because. They follow you for what they can get from you. And that's the charge which is leveled against God. Like, if you don't bless people, they won't follow you. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? That is a massive challenge. Do I come to God for what I can get? Or do I come to God because God is God? So the book of Job, we have this wonderful kind of end here where we've got this wonder of hearing about God. And Job recognizes his limitations. He says, there's nothing I can say. We learn about our limitedness and we learn about God's unlimitedness, God's limitlessness and his lordship. Somebody's suggested that Job is this bit at the end is fairly intimidating. And I said that, didn't I? I got up here and I feel a bit intimidated. And does God just browbeat Job into submission? I think I used to read it like that. Like you read earlier on, and Job talks about the fact, I want to bring this charge against God. He's not been just. But how am I going to do that? Because if God speaks, I won't be able to speak. And you think, yeah, that's not fair. And that's what it could read like. But there's more than that. Because for God to reveal himself, for God to come to Job, that is a loving thing for God to do. I had a teacher once teaching in Genesis, and he talks about the fact that God came into the garden and said, Adam, where are you? Like, God didn't need to come. God could have just wrapped it up there and then and said, well, you disobeyed me. Job done. Finished. He comes. God comes. He comes after us, after humanity. God comes out of his love, and he comes. He came into the garden and said, Adam, where are you? And he comes to Job and he says, I am God. And it's scary, but that's the good thing too, because for us to be in right relationship with God means for us to know God is God and I'm not. And so that's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to know that God is God, that he is Lord and I am not. It's a loving thing, because when we're in our right relationship with God, when God is God and I'm not, when we're in right relationship, that's how things are meant to be. That's what we're designed for. And God means us to live in dependence on him because he loves us. He comes. Will we trust him? Will we trust him when we don't understand what he's doing? Will we trust him when we don't understand what he's doing? He comes, and we see that most clearly again here in Colossians. He comes. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. If we want to know what God looks like, we look at Jesus. He comes. The one through whom the world was made, the very Word of God, comes into creation. And then we have this bit here as well, which is part of for us to reflect on this morning, and we've already heard about it. All things have been created through him and for him. All things. I could almost count up the number of times we get all things in here. Like there's clear this. All things have been created through him and for him. It's not about us. All things have been created through him and for him. It's God's. It's for him. We are for him. The world is for him. It's for him, for his glory. This kind of concern around the climate emergency, like it's so near the surface that like, I think random people talk about it. That was my experience the other day. In my work, I met someone, and he talked about his concern about climate change. And I think it's that close to the surface that people have, you know, that people talk about it. And his concern was, and it was lovely, he was a geography teacher in the past, and his concern was, what are we handing on? What are we passing on? And it was lovely, a really lovely sentiment. What are we passing on to the next generation? And there are cultures which are very different from Western cultures, which understand the world as something that we look after, not that we own. And we could do, the Western cultures could do an awful lot to learn from that, that I don't own this, I'm looking after it. But even that idea of looking it after it for the next generation, it's not quite there. It's got the idea of stewardship, but the one we're looking after it for is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's God's. It's made for him. And then here in Colossians as well, we kind of see the expanse of what God is doing in his redemptive work. This bit at the end, it caught my attention. If I find it again. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And then a bit later, this is the gospel that you heard that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and earth. Every creature. God's redemptive work, reconciling work, isn't just about people. Every creature under heaven. That verse in John that we know so well, for God so loved the world, the word is actually cosmos. For God so loved the cosmos. It's big, isn't it? You know, it's like all of creation, the universe and everything. For God so loved the cosmos. And that it would be reconciled, that everything would be in right relationship. God comes. He comes. And yet he appears to have given us the freedom to not receive him. Will we receive him as Lord? Will we recognize him as Lord in our lives? And that's a growing thing. I don't think it stops. I don't think it's a once and it's done. I think it's a growing thing because think, yep, you're my Lord. And then we find out a few days later, there was that other bit in my life which I need to surrender to God as well. And then it's like it's an ongoing thing, surrendering to God's lordship in our lives. It's not a once and it's done. Because as God reveals himself to us more, we're like, right, you're my Lord. He comes, will we receive him? Because there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. And part of the judgment, it tells us in Revelation, is on those who destroy the earth. Everything will be reconciled and in right relationship with God. So, how does this relate to creation care? We touched on a little bit this idea of stewardship. If the world's not ours, if it's God's, and we're looking after it for him, then that's a different attitude that we have about it. But also, if things aren't ours, and it's a God's gift and God's generosity, then something around creation care can simply be thankfulness. If we're more thankful for the things that we have, we're relating to it differently. We don't think, I deserve this or I own this. It's like, no, this is God's gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the food on the table. Thank you, Lord, for the clothes that I've got to wear. Thank you, Lord, for this roof that I have over my head. Thank you, Lord, because God has given these things to us. Another way this can relate to creation care is about our identity. Stuff. we have a stuff problem. And you know, advertising is really, really, really good at this. And people spend an awful lot of money to do adverts, so they work. They wouldn't spend the money if they don't. But the adverts which come out and say, if you just buy this, if you just look like this, everything's going to be rosy. It'll be really nice, but you just need to buy this or you just need to look like this. If our identity is wrapped up in those things, then we're going to be caught up on the bandwagon with everybody else saying, I need this, I need this, I've got to look like this. No, my identity, our identity as disciples of the Lord Jesus is as children of God the Father living by the Holy Spirit. He's our Lord. And that identity can then give us liberty or freedom from those other things which could come and get a hold of us, whatever that might be, to say my identity is in those things. It's not. My identity is not in what I own. It's not in what I wear. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a child of God the Father, living by the Holy Spirit. We do have a stuff problem. I don't know if you've heard about Earth Overshoot Day or something. In terms of the resources or what we're using for the planet, we're kind of using 1.7 Earths. Does that make sense? So obviously we've only got one, but the way that we are using resources or materials, we're using like 1.7 Earths. We're using more than what the Earth can provide or, you know, regenerate as God has designed it to do. In the UK, if everybody in the world was to live like we do in the UK, we would need almost 2.5 Earths. We've got a stuff problem. I was just checking on this as well. Somebody did a report, so this was related to last year, and it was a research, and they reckon about 50%, half of our plastic that we recycle goes overseas. So that's the UK. Half of the plastic that we recycle goes overseas, where it might be burnt illegally. We've got a stuff problem. I had the privilege to be a little time in South Sudan, in North Africa, Middle Africa, Central Africa. Anyway, I was there for a little while, and they had markets, obviously. Everywhere has markets. But in the market, I remember one time a friend, he got a shirt, and on the shirt was still the label from the charity shop in the UK or somewhere else. And he paid more for it there than it would have cost here. I was angry about that. That's not right. Apparently, they reckon maybe 60% of the clothes that we take to charity shops get baled up, and shipped out. We've got a stuff problem. That's not right. Is it? Like, it undermines the economies in those other countries where they get, like, shed loads of our rubbish clothes. Like, this is not good. And then in Cambodia, there's for us to have lots of clothes quickly and lots of new clothes all of the time is a massive industry. In Cambodia, where they've got where they're doing an awful lot of clothes producing, the scraps from the clothes get burnt in kilns to make bricks because it's cheaper to use those clothes scraps than it is other fuels. But there's the scraps are toxic. So the people who are fueling the kilns are breathing in this toxic stuff. We've got a stuff problem. So we can see that this is about understanding God's lordship, that the world is his, but we can also see, can't we, that there are massive injustices going on in the world. I wanted to read a quote. And this is from the Faraday Institute, which is scientists who are Christians. At its core, climate change is profoundly unjust. It exacerbates hunger, poverty, and even political instability, disproportionately impacting the most vulnerable people of the world, the very ones Christians are called to love and care for. Excuse me. And obviously, this is of great concern to young people. And perhaps we need to be hearing from them, perhaps hearing about their concerns. Apparently, according to Tearfund, who did some research with teenagers, 9 out of 10 teenagers are concerned about climate change. And 1 out of 10 feel their churches are doing enough. So what can we do? What can we do? We can't save the world. Jesus is doing that, has done it, and is doing it. We can't save the world. It's too big a burden. And we trust the Lord even when we don't understand. And we can look forward to the resurrection, the renewal of all things. You know, it says that Jesus' body wasn't given over to decay. His body didn't decay. And he's the, I like this bit in Colossians as well. Like, he's the firstborn from among the dead, so he'd have supremacy in everything. Only God could do it, because God can, only God can be first, because he is the first. And so it had to be God, man, Jesus, that was the first to be resurrected, because otherwise it would have been somebody else who was first. And Jesus is the first. His body was not given over to decay. And we read elsewhere about creation being in bondage to decay. And we look forward to that day when there will no longer be any decay. And we see in Jesus what's to come, and that's part of our life now because we're in him. And I don't know how all that works out, but that's part of the hope. Part of the hope is there's a realization now as well as something in the future. So we can be a part of God's kingdom purposes. We talked about justice. I wanted to read another quote, which was about obedience. And this was somebody who was wrestling with creation care and how important or not important it was. And he's having a conversation with somebody else. And he says, but preaching poverty relief or conservation of rare species, like what's the most important? They're three pretty big things. What's the most important? And the response is, it's not usually just either or. In a community setting, actually, it's all three of those things can be happening together. Preaching, looking after those in poverty, and conservation of rare species. Like, it can all be happening together. And this person says, but even that's, like, pragmatic. At root, it's about obedience. God commanded us to look after creation for him. And it is by doing what we're created to do that we worship. We worship by being obedient. And that's how creation worships. Animals, plants, even rocks matter. Matter matters because it can worship by being what it was created to be. Do what it was created to do. And part of our creation mandate is to look after what God has created. So, there's the leaflet, take it away. There's some ideas about how we can reduce. We've got a stuff problem, that's why that really hit me. And so, you know what, if we could think differently about stuff, if we could not want so much, that would be a really big thing. That first one of trying to reduce, to not be tied into, oh, I've got to have the fanciest phone. The most environmentally phone that you have, it's actually the one that you've already got, rather than replacing it straight away. Like, to use things for as long as we can. And we're in different positions, aren't we? Like, for some, expensive clothes are expensive, too expensive. And so going to a charity shop is one way to try and, you know, reduce the whole fast fashion thing. Look for a bargain in the charity shop. If you do have the means, if you do have the finance, then buy clothes which are going to last a long time, which are made of natural materials, which can be repaired easily, you know, so that we don't go through things so quickly, that we reduce. Maybe we can, you know, share our cars or use our cars less and reduce. If you do need a new phone, see if you can get a second-hand one. Or again, if you've got the means, buy a Fairphone. And they're really strong about how they're making them and why they're making them. Together has been mentioned. We kind of do the litter picks. That's something we can do together. But also caring after the garden, which is something we do together. Like something of beauty that is here in the community is pointing towards God, isn't it? But we don't do it to get brownie points. We don't do it so that we can judge others for not doing it. We don't do it so that we're righteous before God. That's God's gift to us. It says here, doesn't it? About us being, I wanted to read it. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith. Our right standing before God is God's gift that we receive. So these other things that we then do out of love for him, love for each other, and love for the world that God's made, and love for the poor who are suffering unjustly because of it. Not worshipping creation, but pointing to the Creator. Could we turn to finish to Psalm 33? Excuse me. And in a moment, we're going to have a moment of quiet and then a song that we can listen to. Psalm 33. Page 560. Joy, could you lead us in reading this together? And then my voice is going now. Sorry. I just thought if we could all read it together. 33, 6 to 9.
Thank you, David. So much to think about there. And we're going to just listen to a song which was, I can't remember what organisation, but anyway, made for Christian Aid, I think. Yeah, Christian Aid, as for people to use in services like this to reflect. And just while we're listening to this, just to think about what's your response. What is God saying to you in obedience, you know, as your challenge for obedience in this area? It might be just, you know, it might be something practical, like, you know, David talked about us having too much stuff, maybe just not buying so much or not replacing our phone as early as we normally do. Or it might be something spiritual, you know, to just study this more and to really seek God more about this issue. So, you know, just think about what's your response as this song plays, and we'll just take a moment to reflect, and then, you know, we'll be closing in a few minutes.